And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 316. Going to wrap up our starting pitching previews for the 2026 fantasy baseball season. Talking ADP 61 through 90. When you see this board, folks, it is rare stake red all across the board. So we'll get to that, some news, and much, much more. But beforehand, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, and you can find him as a number, like one of the top four finalists for Baseball Writers of the Year, I believe, or Fantasy Writers of the Year. If I was nominated, maybe for making cool stuff and things for the Patreon, but you can find him on Twitter at RyanVHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
Shaky intro.
I just had to throw it because it was different than you've always had, like, yeah. the writer. Now this is for series of the year. I know what it was. I was just messing with you because it's the first time you're on it, and it's not even for the freaking speculator, which is awesome.
So. No, for the fab column. But yeah, that dude, honestly, biggest thing since our last show, I am absolutely blown away about how passionate so many of our listeners are about Tang. It is absolutely, it has been the subject. We have folks on, we had a guy on Twitter making like new podcast logos with Tang on it. Basically everyone in our Discord sharing Tang stories of when they grew up, microwaved Tang.
Yeah, that's a little bit much.
Seemed a little much to me. People just piling on me for not knowing. For the record, we need to set the record straight. I should not do gestures at this camera.
Yeah.
I have heard of Tang. I loosely know what Tang is. I had no idea it was linked to astronauts. And for you to instantly link the player Tang to going to Houston with the drink Tang with astronauts, just it still blows me away. Actually picked some up this weekend.
No.
Picked up a bottle, Amazon, $3. Picked up a bottle of the powder. Gave it to my oldest. I think we just gave it to my oldest. Did not go over well. Was not a fan. So I haven't even tried it. I tested on my kids first, not me.
That's smart. Yeah. Like every other parent would do, yes.
And he drinks anything with, you know, juice. I mean, kids, right? Any kind of juice, something. Flavor. Yeah. Didn't go over too well, so I don't know, man. I still don't get what the fuss is about here.
I might have to try this now. I might get some for my daughter and check this out. Now I'm intrigued because she's similar, it sounds like, and you know, give her any juice box or you know, orange juice or apple juice, you're golden.
Yeah.
And so now I'm curious to how this goes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was this past weekend. So.
Well, I'm glad we're a month into the new calendar year and I'm already teaching you new things.
I know, man.
It's a trend on this show. It'll be a 4 or 5 times a year. It'll be Ryan, and it won't be a player thing. That happens almost every Fab episode. This will be other stuff. And he's like, no way. Googles it. Here we are.
Traditionally, it's been like Bible stories, Bible verses. Yes,
true.
I don't know, whatever reason, but we ventured out into this. But it honestly has been pretty cool to see everyone just go nuts over this. I don't get it, but it's pretty cool.
Go crazy for the Tang. Yeah. But yes, kudos to your award nomination. And the show, second time in 3 years getting nominated, is pretty cool as well because we're going up against some heavy hitters as usual, like RotoWire, Sleeper on the Bus, Pitcher List, our buddy Eric Cross at Tool Sheds. There's two of us, smaller folks out there going up against the big dogs. We'll see how that plays out. The only thing I want to say, this is pure sarcasm for anybody that questions it. Can they pick which show, RotoWire or Pitcher List? Because they have like 7 different episodes. Like there's like RotoWire has a different show every day with different hosts. Pitcher List has 12 podcasts or whatever. It's the Pitcher List Network. Which show is it? That's all I want to know.
Yeah. That's what everyone wants to know for each one. But yeah, we just submitted one show.
I'm not even saying an episode for us because like at least we're just Bubba and the Blue.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm trying to say which one is there? Yeah. That's my only question.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. They're you know, we could talk FSWA and people for or against whatever, but still, I don't know. In my opinion, seeing our little outfit here, just basically me and you building this thing from scratch, at least listed next to some of these honestly behemoths in the industry. And shout out to Cross too; he's the other independent venture out of this. I don't know. Like, we put in a lot of time and work into this thing. It's cool to see it somewhat recognized, and who knows if we actually win anything, but to even get on the list is awesome. And heard a bunch, really, again, this all goes back to you guys, to the listeners, seeing you all get excited about it, was pretty cool. Most importantly, by far most importantly. So I don't know. That was pretty cool way to kick off the weekend. Friday afternoon, those came out.
Yep. That was very, very cool. And again, I remember folks being sarcastic over here.
Bench with Bubba though. Come on. Bench with Bubba.
That's never getting nominated again. I'm not even going to submit it anymore. If that one wasn't it, it ain't never happening.
Patreon bonus show for True Thoughts there. But
yeah, you should have got me Saturday night. We could have given you a whole show on that one. About 1 p.m. Pacific or 1 a.m. Pacific time would have been some real, real good stuff. But all right, enough, you know, me blabbering and whatnot. Let's talk about Baseball HQ, who continues to support the show. They have a lot of nominations in the FSWA, if you want to go that route. Our buddy Alan was on the show with us. He's got a couple nods. Brent Chester has a couple nods. The forecaster, so on and so forth. It's what they do. But we mentioned it before. They help us with our overall prizes, graciously do that. And in turn, we like to help wherever we can. And so we have the draft prep subscription over at Baseball HQ. We don't. They do have the subscription basically from when you sign up through the end of April. So you get all draft season plus one more month. And if you use promo code Bubba26, BUBBA26, you get $10 off your draft prep subscription. Ryan, what do you get with that?
You get our fine content. Me and you contribute to the site. Shout out Alan DeLeonardis. I have maintained for years he is my favorite writer in fantasy baseball. Just he is a magician with words. Hope he gets glad to see him get some recognition this past weekend. You get access to Alan's stuff, which is really cool. Facts and Flukes, so you mentioned Brent is a finalist there. Corbin Young is one writer of the year there for Facts and Flukes. So you get all the content. You get the Baseball HQ tools, which are really really useful, and what I use a ton of the projections as well. They're updated playing time. The playing time projections for me for HQ are huge. We have a small army of playing time people where all they do is adjust playing time based on news. And the playing time is, I think, it's the best out there, in my opinion. So, Bubba26, you get full site access through April. So you get all the preseason stuff. You get the first month of in-season. Bubba26 for draft prep subscriptions. BaseballHQ.com/subscribe and check it out.
Yep, go check it out. Yeah, it'll be worth it. Trust me. Again, we're not saying that because we're biased. We Correct. Actually use the stuff as well. I don't read I've said this before. I don't read a ton of articles anymore because just between life, I don't have time to read a lot of articles. I read a lot of the HQ stuff. Like at lunchtime, I pull the phone. Like I'll text Ryan stuff. Like I read the HQ stuff. I think it's very, very good. So check it all out. Make it happen. Have some fun there. All right. Let's get to some news and notes. I'm glad I was enjoying my Saturday when this one came out.
Because were you enjoying this after the news came out?
No, I'm glad I was enjoying it. So this didn't bother me as much. Okay. Is what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha.
Luis Arraez signed to the San Francisco Giants. Nothing personal to the Arraez family. He's a very good real life ball player. Fantasy, you guys know our thoughts on him pretty much already. But also in real life, what stings is he's not really good defensively at especially at second base. He's going to play second base for the Giants. It's not going to for any power in San Francisco unless he's taking steroids. And he better hit 330 and lead off. Otherwise, we're in serious trouble. And the bigger thing is, like, I was kind of curious what Casey Schmidt could do with the season. Okay. Like, he was injured last year. So I know I said probably most of the things you wanted to mention there, Ryan, but this one I am not happy about at all. And I'm hoping that they had a little pocket of money left, and I was really kind of like, Framber Valdez SP2 sounds great. I hope this doesn't screw that up.
Right, and maybe it doesn't. I don't know. It wasn't a huge contract, so we'll see. I was disappointed, too. For Arraez and his fantasy value, which we're generally down on Luis Arraez just because of the lack of counting stat juice that he gives. I don't think it changes anything for Luis Arraez. I think we all assumed he would get a job somewhere and play, so that doesn't change. Honestly, this is more of a kind of a real baseball / Logan Webb rant. That for as good as the left side of the Giants infield is for like an extreme ground baller like Webb and potentially Framber if they're still in those sweepstakes, we're pre-recording this, so maybe we're dating ourselves. For as good as the left side of the infield is defensively, man, that right side with Devers and Luis Arraez, I don't like that for Logan Webb.
Yeah, no, it's not a good thing all around, and now it turns into, yeah, it's like, what do you do with Casey Schmidt? because this was
and you
the
had
time
Schmidt, get, right? Exactly.
It was the time to give him a shot. Defensively, wasn't that bad because they're all pretty much better. Like Arise is really bad at second base. Like
he was the first baseman mostly. I mean, he was moved off of second. Not even a good defensive first baseman.
Yeah,
which it's not great.
And it's like you can't DH Arise because you have Eldridge and Devers doing this, and so that's why.
Right.
I was just baffled at what took place here. Like I get it. If you kind of look at the lineup, the way they're building things, they just want guys to get on base. And like honestly, if he gets, like I said, if he gets 300 plus, it might work. But he doesn't really run a lot. Doesn't hit for power. Like he has to hit. I was telling guys yesterday at a 1-year-old birthday party, they were like all excited that we signed this guy. And I'm like, tell me what he does for us. It's like, well, he had like 9 home runs last year. I'm like, 9 home runs. Well, Casey Schmidt stinks. We haven't seen full Casey Schmidt. Like the average Joe, let's just put it that way. This is even a fantasy point. I'm just frustrated as a Giants fan that that's where they went with this. I just don't get it at all.
I'd love to be at this 1-year-old's birthday party and Bubba's just angrily in the corner ranting about Luis Arraez. You were what?
We weren't in the corner.
You were front and center.
We were in the middle. There was the table. You saw the table I was at. That wasn't in the corner.
saw some of the beverages on the table. So you weren't like mid birthday song for the kid opening presents or whatever going off on Luis Arraez or
party started at 11. This was poor like 2:30.
Okay, so you're in the clear at that point.
Good. No, we're good.
Okay,
but it was very frustrating. Not great. All right, let's move on to something potentially better. We'll see. It depends on your view on the Reds. But the Reds signed Eugenio Suarez to a 1-year deal. And the first reaction everybody has is, great American small park, meet Eugenio Suarez. Like, fair enough. I'm not going to argue that. There's also trickle-down effects here, Ryan, with Eugenio Suarez starting the Reds. So what are your thoughts here before I take this one as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, the obvious, right, is this is because it seemed like it was going to kind of be Seattle or Cincinnati for Eugenio Suarez. And from a few, as a Seattle fan, I'd like to have seen them re-sign Suarez, but not too huge of a bummer. Obviously, for fantasy, you want to have your hitters in Cincinnati and not in Seattle. That itself is a nice boost for Suarez. It sounds like he's going to be the primary DH. There's a lot of talk on who this affects. I don't think we know who this is going to affect. It'll be some combination of like Sal Stewart, Spencer Steer, maybe Ke'Bryan Hayes, maybe Noelvi Marte. There's a lot of uncertainty, in my opinion, as to who it affects. I don't think we know yet. This would be one where I'm going to be monitoring the TJ Stats spring training tracker to see some Cincinnati lineups this spring. Honestly, that is like a spring training battle I will be looking at to see what Cincinnati wants to do with Suarez now in the mix and who ultimately loses out on playing time. I don't really know. Maybe you have some theories, some thoughts. I don't, until we actually see Cincinnati kind of tip their hand there. I'm not sure who will lose the most.
Yeah, we don't know. That is fair. That is very fair. Couple things though. First, for the tracker, it's great somebody's still carrying the torch.
Because
we can't have it just completely disappear because of lack of hustle. But correct. It's also worth noting this year is a WBC year, so not all rosters will be created equally in spring training. So keep that in mind as we do things. The Reds, I don't think, have a lot of players playing in WBC, so you might be okay. But something to think to overall thought process. The beat reporters, multiple beat reporters, even Frank Amarante I saw in a picture. It was 3 hours after the beat reporters. But they said Suarez is going to DH, play third, and potentially first. So I guess the primary thing for him. Sal Stewart will play DH and first. Spencer Steer is going to play outfield and be a utility player. That's their plan. So if that takes place, I'm still fine with Sal Stewart. Feeling good about life. Again, believe it when I see it, to your point earlier.
Yeah.
But if that's how it plays out, like I like Spencer Steer, don't get me wrong, but I like Sal Stewart a heck of a lot more. And so if we can still get Sal Stewart those DH at bats and time at first base, play him 145 plus games, we're good. Does that happen? We'll see. But that's kind of where I'm leaning right now because that's all we have to go off of.
Yeah. I would also argue a slight... it's just one more potential alternative if Noelvi Marte struggles. We've talked about Noelvi Marte in the third base and outfield episodes. I am not a fan at all.
You're
just given
Marte, yes.
Yeah, just given ebbs and flows in production. If there are ebbs, is the ebb the good part or the flow? I don't know. If there's downsides in production, Noel V. Marte. Again, it's just another entrant into the battle for playing time.
Yep, it is definitely. Honestly, I think the Marte thing, I think, is more likely to happen than see Spencer Steer as a utility player. I like Marte. I do, but I could see that being the case.
One last thing with this one. I mentioned Seattle earlier. You mentioned this in the Discord too, right? Yep. I thought Seattle was going to re-sign Suarez. I don't know if they were in on it or not, but since they don't have Suarez, as of now, it's looking like Ben Williamson is the starting third baseman. Colt Emerson, there are heavy rumblings that Colt Emerson is going to get a long look at third base this spring. And if he can do well with that opportunity, even though I believe he's 20 years old, would be very young, superstar prospect. Colt Emerson might has a better chance at getting that third base job at Seattle with Suarez outside the mix. He has to produce to get there, but someone who has a super high ceiling, is shortstop eligible in most formats, certainly on the NFBC, could pick that up and third base eligibility, again, if spring training goes well for Colt Emerson.
Emerson's last 7 days, according to the ADP tracker, ADP 408 in the DCs.
Yeah, cheap.
So that's really affordable. I grabbed him in the DC we're in right now before this move happened, so that worked out well. I'll just throw my extra 2 cents here is my first PT tomorrow that came up 2 weeks ago. I wrote about the third base dilemma in Seattle, and I mentioned Suarez could be the option. If not, Ben Williamson's the potential starter, but Emerson should be the guy, was my whole train of thought there. And I'll add some numbers to it. Like, you look at Ben Williamson, he's going to be 25 this year. So he's like, you know, still kind of young, but 85 games with the Mariners, one homer, five steals, 253. 52 games at AAA, 5 homers, 10 steals, 314. So it's like 6-15 in 2024 in the minors, 4-19. He has no power. That's just where I'm going. Looks like he's got speed, and the minors hit for average. We'll see where that goes. But you mentioned Colt Emerson, and it's like, yeah, he's still very young. He's going to be 21 or to be 20 this year. He turned 20 on July 20th, so he's 21 mid season.
Yep.
But even in the minors last year, he started at high A, finished at triple A. He had 16 homers, 14 steals at 285 in 130 games. Like, that's pretty, pretty good. So I'm with you. I think if it's not to start the season, we see Emerson. This isn't a beer bet, because I think you would like this bet to be true. I think Emerson plays more games at third base this year than Williamson does. It's just a matter of when it happens.
Yeah, I'm not going to beer bet on you because
I agree. I hope that's true. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But like, that's something I kind of want to just emphasize to the listeners. Like, I think he does. I really do. Like, because they've shown they'll bring up young guys. It's not like they hold them back. So
yep.
I think there's an option there. But all right, last bit of news: the most active team in the AL Central this season. This is a crazy thing to just say out loud. It's the Chicago White Sox. And they signed Austin Hayes to a 1-year deal. And just everyone's got a take on this one. It all differs. Depends on who you talk to. But Austin Hayes can't stay healthy of late. But when healthy, is a very serviceable ball player. What are your thoughts on Hayes with the White Sox?
To your point, love to see the White Sox actually, I won't say going for it, but kind of, right? They're making signings. Murakami, they're making trades. I don't mind it. Austin Hayes will, I guess, on paper, be starting in corner outfield. A lot of injury issues with Austin Hayes, as you mentioned. So I don't know. I had my hopes up for Luis Angel Acuna. It still may be in the mix there when Austin Hayes gets hurt. So I don't have a firm take on this other than I think Austin Hayes will start as long as he's healthy and against both side pitching. So that's useful. And again, just overall the White Sox, man, like, we're going to talk Shane Smith most likely on this episode. Like, Shane Smith's a guy where it's like, oh, he's on the White Sox, not going to get many wins. I think we need to, at least given what the White Sox have done, think we need to reshape how we think about them a little bit. It doesn't look like a half bad team. I'm not saying they're going to go to playoffs, but this team could get you some wins. Seranthony Dominguez, we talked about last week. Like, I think enough save ops there. If Dominguez can hold on to the job, this is not a half bad team. I'm happy for Mike Carter out there.
Yep, Carter at least has some optimism while Chicago is frozen. So it's very good in that regard. Hayes destroys left-handed pitching. Like, that's what he's really good at. Right-handed pitching's up in the air, but like, to me, it feels like Brooks Baldwin is either platooning with him or the odd man out. We could legit see a lineup that looks like Chase Mydroth, Kyle Teal, Colson Montgomery, Miguel Vargas, Benintendi, Murakami, Hayes. Let's put Angel or Luis Angel Acuña and then Edgar Carroll. Like, that's very young and very, like, a ton of upside in the lineup, to your point. So, yeah, I like what the White Sox are doing. They could probably use some pitching help, but that is not going to happen. And we'll see. Well, maybe it will. You never know if they're actually doing things. So I've never say never with Chicago. But, yeah, good to see them doing something in a division that if you finish 500, you might make the playoffs.
Yep.
All right. Let's get to it. SP Part 3. It's going to be an absolute doozy here. I'll just let you start off. Well, first off, let me mention, I should have mentioned this at the top. This is poor hosting on my part. This is episode 316. 314 was part two. 315 was live on PitchCon on Friday. We were on, it's on our YouTube. It was on their stream. They sent us the audio. We put it out over the weekend. If you missed it, it's a hitting roadmap. So you can jump in and get that. We had an extra episode last week, if you're curious. But now we're back to our regularly scheduled program, and we're on 316. So what are we looking at here, Ryan?
All right, yeah, same verse, different verse, same verse, different than the first, whatever the saying is. Jeez,
just flip it and reverse it.
Yeah. SP 61 through 90, a lot of red on this one, right? Because we are looking at projected ERA, WHIP, and strikeouts across the entire pitching pool. So this should be of no shock to anybody. But the later you go in drafts, the worse these projections look. So there's a lot of red. This looks like Bubba's tri-tip on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon down there. But not to say we can't find, you know, little pockets and specific players that we like. So I like to do this with all the pitcher previews, is just get a little bit of a heat check for what the market's doing. This is in a 15 teamer, this is your SP 5 and 6. Given the ADP that we're looking at here on the left side, so starting pitchers 61 to 75 is from ADP 212 to 270, roughly. So that's typically when the market in 15 teamers is getting their fifth starting pitcher. Probably in 12 teamers, this is your sixth, right? And then on the right side of the screen, starting pitcher 76 through 90 is ADP 270 to like 310. So that's typically when the market is getting their SP 6 in 15 teamers. And in 12 teamers, you're kind of, this is your last pitcher / first reserve pitcher that you're drafting. So just want to kind of frame that context in terms of actual roster build and roster construction on where the market is on average taking these guys.
Yep. No, that's a great point. The pockets, again, I keep saying this on these shows, is it's where this is going to really stand out. And some of these guys go within like six picks or like one round of each other. Some you have multiple rounds, but like to your point, you know, 90 pitchers are gone basically by pick 300. So you really got to schedule things out. Otherwise, like me, things get ugly the longer you wait at the position. And this is why some people like to take pitchers early. Ryan, I guess it might be a question later on, but we talked about like 1 through 30, you want two at least out of that group. You want probably 2 to 3 more out of 30 through 60. Like, how many do you realistically, because you're going to have to take someone here unless you get crazy, right? Yeah. In your draft. But like, how many are you okay leaving with, I guess, is the question.
I mean, yeah, I'd love to take zero out of this group, but yeah, we do need to fill out, especially in draft and holds. You are still trying to build depth in starting pitching. And I think the strategy for me is a little different in draft and hold with Fab. And this really goes for my general approach differences between the two. But in draft and hold, I think you still are drafting guys that you need to count on. You will be counting on at some point throughout the season. Whereas Fab, you can be a little bit more loose with the ceiling, and if it doesn't work out, drop them and move on. So I mean, to actually answer your question, probably leaving most drafts with 2 to 3 of these guys again, because for as ugly as this looks, given the projections and like everyone projected for a bad ERA, bad WHIP, at least these guys have rotation jobs. As you go even deeper into this, and we'll maybe give a couple targets outside the top 90 at the end of the show. I mean, it only gets worse. So like, for as bad as this looks, you still need to take, I'm taking 2 to 3 of these guys.
Okay. My next question on this is, are you more inclined to look for upside here? Like, because we're going to drop these guys at some point in time, or are you still looking for some like solid floors in this range? Because again, we'll talk about them, but you look at a lot of these names and there's a lot of volatility in this range. So some might scream upside. Maybe you just take one upside and two floors. I don't know, but I'm just trying to throw that out there too.
Now for draft and hold, it's more floor. I'm still counting on these guys. I'm still looking at redraft. Redraft, cut them. If they don't work out, take a shot, take a risk, and if it doesn't work out, cut and move on.
All right, cool. All right, let's get to it because yeah, it's murky. There's not even a ton of 150 strikeout guys in this range. It gets ugly in a hurry. Hopefully, you've drafted better than waiting until this point. ADP 61 through 65. You have or it picks 61 to 65. ADP 212 through 227. Jack Flaherty, Andrew Abbott, Chris Buich, Zach Gallen, Matthew Boyd. Crazy part here is, you know, Abbott's coming off a great year. Buich is great. Injury concerns. Gallen kind of got to go into the second half. He used to be one of the aces. Flaherty kind of had, he had his ups and downs, as we are well documented. And the Boyd was great, but I think people are nervous about part like the repeat here. So this is a very, you could see a lot of upside in this range, like I said, but there's always, like almost every one of them has a serious concern.
Yeah, except for the captain, Captain Jack. I know I'm cherry picking here by saying the most expensive starter in this entire group is my favorite. But for as much as I liked Nick Lodolo and was all over him on the last show as my SP3 in a ton of teams, Jack Flaherty is my SP4, SP5 on a ton of teams. I just think two seasons in a row, 160 innings. I think luck was not on Jack Flaherty's side last season. It was a 19%. Strikeout minus walk. Again, strikeout minus walk is that one metric we're kind of using to start our analysis here. League average is much below 19%. 19% is really good for Jack Flaherty. To have a 19% strikeout minus walk rate and a 4.64 ERA just doesn't equate. I'm gonna take the skills. I'm gonna take the good park, the good team, all that that goes with Jack Flaherty. So he is by far my favorite option of this group. Again, he's most expensive at 212, but I think even at 212, Jack Flaherty is for me pretty much a smash in most drafts.
Yep, I love Flaherty. I'm 100% with you. I've always been team Flaherty. I spent half of last season, I feel like, defending
his honor in the Discord. Yeah,
I was Jon Snow and haters GIF at That's times. Right. So I will continue to fly the flag with Captain Jack because to me, not a whole lot has changed. He's actually pitched really well and the outcome was not what you expected. But again, like you said, you're paying an ADP at 212. There's a lot of guys with his skill set going a lot earlier. They might just get better results at the time, but he's still very, very good. So I got no complaints there. I think we both agreed we're kind of just out on Boyd with that increase, kind of scared of how that took place. You might be more interested, it looks like.
I've got a little bit of Boyd. I am kind of scared as hell as to how Matthew Boyd finished the season. I mean, Boyd was one of the best breakout picks in all of 2025. But in the second half, kind of went awry, especially late. So I don't know. You could take that two ways, right? You could take that, you know, Matthew Boyd, who is certainly no habit, no creature of habit for pitching deep into games or deep into the season, for once goes 180 innings. And what if he just wore out and offseason arrest, he's good to go? Like, he was never really hurt. Velocity was fine in the second half. Honestly, the K minus walk was only down a little bit. It went down. The last seven starts were pretty rough, but I don't think this is an injury thing. I think he just got tired. And I think you can make the argument that if you're in on Boyd, if you get another kind of the first 4 months of Matthew Boyd that we got last year, you're certainly all over that at this price. So I can see, I'm not totally out on Matt Boyd. I think there wasn't an injury. I think he just wore down. And I think if you can squeeze out another good first 4 months, I think you're good there.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not against that.
I didn't persuade you, but that's okay.
But no one has so far. It's weird. I should be less cautious at this ADP. I should be like, pitch him. If he breaks down, I drop him. That should be the result here. And maybe that mindset will change as we get, farther into actual fab season, because right now, like in a DC, I can't drop him, and that's where it kind of is difficult for me, I guess. But in a fab, like that changes a lot.
And Matthew Boyd in DCs was and fab leagues, because I don't think a lot of people dropped him. I mean, he's actively hurting you like the last month of the season, it was that bad.
I keep saying my brain's in like auction mode, it feels like. Right now, Boyd's AAV is $4. Like, that's very palatable.
Yeah, like that's
they'll bow it out of rotation. Like, I can play that game.
That's not bad. You take that. Yeah.
But, all right, sorry.
I was just gonna add the one guy I'm super concerned about is Chris Bubich.
Yeah.
Pick 222. I just anytime. So it was 20 innings in the second half for Chris Bubich. Velocity collapsed. It was a shoulder strain to end the season without any kind of surgery or anything like that to fix it. So Chris Bubich, for as good as he was last year, 255 ERA, 118 WHIP, with, I mean, pretty decent skills, like not that good. Injury wise, just scares the hell out of me, given a shoulder strain. And unlike with Boyd, who just kind of got tired, I think there's a difference there between those two. I hope that kind of makes sense to the listeners. I think there's a risk that Chris Bubich, his shoulder is not right, and you don't want to draft pitchers whose shoulders aren't right with pick 222.
Agreed. I'm very concerned with him. He's pretty much not on my board, but the guy I will mention, that's why I probably would have trouble drafting Boyd at 227, is like Zach Gallen at 226. I know it was a rough year last year, but
yeah,
he still threw 192 innings. There ain't a whole lot of that as you go farther down this list. Like guys that can go deep. It was 148 the year before, but 210, 184. Like we know he can work. And yeah, the strikeouts were down last year. The ratios were the worst they've been in a while. Could he be tired? He's only going to be 30. He's looking for a new home. Like there's so many questions that I think that might have been the worst we see Zach Gallen. If that's his worst, it's not that bad. Like it was really bad at spurts. Don't get me wrong. We talked about him and everything, but like this is a guy that was a former top 20 pitcher, top 30 pitcher.
Yeah.
And he's not that far removed. So like at 226, it's a guy that every draft I'm in, I'm looking at really hard going, okay, we always think who could be a guy that could elevate themselves from this set. Like, could we be talking about him on 31 through 60 next year? I 100% think so. Sure, he's 64. It's not that far of a jump, but like I think Zach Gallen, I think, has a lot more of the really good Gallen still in him than the bad Gallen we saw. That's just my thoughts. Yeah, who knows? But if we're looking for upside plays, I think that's one that has volume with it as well.
Because you were not a Gallen guy at all.
No.
Last year. No, I remember that.
Because it was so bad to start with. But
yeah. Yep. You were early on the drop train there. I agree. I don't think I have too much, if any, of Gallen, but I certainly understand the pick. Velocity came back in the second half, up from 93 to 94. K to walk from 11 to 16% first to second half. So again, I don't think this is any kind of injury or anything. Could just be buying a consistently solid pitcher off a down year. I think in general, that's a pretty good, approach when you're drafting this late.
All right. Let's go 66 through 70. Gallen's former teammate, Merrill Kelly, starts at 229. Jack Leiter, Joe Musgrove, Roki Sasaki, and Shane O'Mac at 246. There's really only probably two pitchers I even consider in this range. But
there's two we're both not considering. I'll speak for you in Sasaki and McClanahan, right?
Bingo. Agreed. Yes, because okay. What is even Sasaki doing? Like, there's the rotation's full. He's not closing. What do you say you do here, Roki?
Yeah. Potentially a Bob. And Shane McClanahan, truly, like hasn't logged any hours in like 3 years. So no innings. Maybe Shane McClanahan still has it. I don't want to spend too much time on McClanahan. It's just both off our boards, Sasaki and McClanahan. I don't know. Interesting group. You've got, Merrill Kelly is like king of the olds. age 37 season, and somewhat remarkably for me last year, just after being super stable, getting hurt in 24, snapping right back to the Merrill Kelly of old of 184 innings, 352 ERA, 111 WHIP. Like, I think that's stable and solid again. I could have said that I was saying that this time 2 years ago and got burned badly by Merrill Kelly, but honestly, man, I'm ready to get burned again. I think Merrill Kelly is a fine, safe pick. Not the highest ceiling, but he's going to get you innings and of decent quality. So are you a Jack Leiter guy? I get the Leiters confused.
Love Jack Leiter.
Okay. That's what I thought. I go for it.
Plenty of shares here. Now, this is where we start. Like, cause we just talked to Flaherty. Kelly, I totally agree. It's boring, but unless he gets hurt, he's going to give you another 170 innings probably and not crush you. Like things you look for in a 15. Jack Leiter is that upside play. Absolutely love what Jack Leiter did last year for a couple things. Threw 151 innings, which was a massive boost from his previous season where we saw 112, like 40 inning boost. Beautiful to see. Had the 3.86 ERA. He had the K to walk of, it was only 12.5. So that's sketchy, but this is where things get good. If you look at how he developed as the season went along, there's a lot to like with Jack Lair. We saw 3.43 ERA in July, 2.76 in August. It was 4.2 in September, so that's a little sketch. But first half, second half splits, just completely different. Six, like 3.28 ERA in the second half. We saw a guy there that got better. The pitch mix changed with Leiter. But what I really like to see is we knew he was dominating in the minors, and we were waiting for it in the bigs. His K to walk in the second half was 16.7% after being 9% in the first half. He had a 26.3% strikeout rate and a 9.7% walk rate, both improvements on the first half. Like I said, was getting better and better as the season went along. Kid's 25 years old. That's why he's a kid. Like there's a lot to like with Jack Leiter, and the way the Rangers have also built the rotation, he's now like their fourth. He's not going to line up against a lot of aces, probably, like shouldn't. He doesn't have to pitch like an ace, like where it felt like last year he needed to pitch as the two at times, like when Eovaldi was out and stuff. So there's a world where Jack Leiter, I think, can really take an even bigger step forward. So this is a total ceiling play. Like, I get it. It could go horribly wrong, but I think there is a lot of upside with Jack Leiter at 241.
Yeah, and I think in 12s and fab leagues, I think maybe you do that over a Merrill Kelly or Matthew Boyd type. So I like that. In the forecaster, we gave Jack Leiter an upside. Our good buddy Jock Thompson gave Jack Leiter an upside of 180 innings at a 3.60 ERA. Noted more changeups to help drive some of those in-season skill gains that you spoke of, Bubba. I feel like just real quick, forgotten man is Joe Musgrove.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of Musgrove. I hearken back. I comp him to like a Sandy Alcantara, just because the timeline from their Tommy John surgeries are pretty similar with Sandy this time last year, to where like Joe Musgrove is probably a full go. His Tommy John was in October of 2024. So like could have even returned at the end of last year, but didn't. Normal off season for Musgrove. That the thing I have is what's similar to Sandy. What are the odds we get the same Joe Musgrove out of the gate that we had before Tommy John? So it's not really a volume concern for Joe Musgrove. It's, is this the same guy? And even at 242, I don't think I'm willing to take that risk.
Yep. No, I agree. It's I don't know what we're getting. It's kind of like, at least same with Bubich, like Musgrove missed even more time. So I really don't know what's like. He had the whole surgery. He got cut on at least. So that's a plus.
That's what I was going to add. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So that's a plus. But at this range, like, do we want the uncertainty or just say, let's go with Jack Leiter right before him or a couple guys after him type deal, which we kind of have a better idea of, at least health-wise. Again, anything can happen when it comes to pitchers. 71 through 75, Bryce Miller at ADP 252, Noah Cameron, Shane Smith, Hurston Waldrip, Casey Mize at 267. This is a range where I'm quite interested in. Honestly, to probably your surprise, Noah Cameron is not even near the top of the list. Okay. I was going to get ahead of that real quick for you.
You could tell. You could see I was starting to go in, couldn't you?
He's not even like my favorite targets, period, in this good range. So, yeah.
He shouldn't be. Good on you.
He shouldn't be. Yeah, but what do you got here?
I won't steal too much of your thunder because I know you like some of these guys. I don't have a good read on Bryce Miller. So two things with Bryce Miller. Pretty much well documented that he was pitching with, I believe, bone spurs in his elbow for much of last year and ended up not getting the surgery even after the season. So it's like, on the other hand, look at Bryce Miller. I go back to your article that you put on the Patreon where I did the Bloom board and you wrote him up. We looked at the best, and there's a few of these guys on this episode, the biggest improvers over the last 2 months of the season in terms of swinging strike and ball percentage. And Bryce Miller's on there, despite pitching with.
And the results seem to get worse is the weirdest part. Like, that's, I was so baffled, right? Because the other guys, like, things correlated. I remember writing him up going, this is bizarre.
Yes, I know. But, like, sorry. Those are, yeah. No, that's a totally a fair point. That still has me interested, honestly. Like, the skills were a lot better late for Bryce Miller. If you take kind of a deeper look there, Bryce Miller is someone I thought was being way overdrafted last year. He was one of our biggest fades, but like, still a young guy now going 252. Of course, there's a ton of risk with those bone spurs, but like, I don't know, finished strong. And That's again, I'm just confused on Bryce Miller, so I'm not really sure what to do. I know I'm just kind of talking out of both ends here, but figured I'd just throw that out there because at first it's like, oh, he's a total fade. But then when he showed up on that Bloom board and your write-up, I'm like, I don't know. At 252, is that worth a shot? I'm not sure.
Well, it's the old HQ adage, draft skills, not roles. Like if the skills are still there, which you saw in the swinging strike, they're actually improved. Is that what you're drafting and hope it figures it out? I wish he has got the Spurs removed. Like we talked about Rodon last episode. Like, that's, I'm willing to take a chance on Rodon because he actually got it done. We've seen guys come back from it, like make it happen. But apparently he thinks he can go through it, and maybe he can. I don't know. But it's just one of those things. Maybe the Mariners just don't like surgeries. Woo, Miller. Like, we're just gonna figure out alternative medicine ways to get through it. Those big extracurricular activities.
PNW. That's how we roll.
That's what I was saying. So those extracurricular activities up there, crunchiness right. of we the Pacific need, Northwest to figure it out.
We don't need Western medicine up here.
Nope. Not up here. If trust me, Raj is one of the head leading MDs in the area. So we're good in that regard. But I want to highlight just a couple real quick. Like Shane Smith, I love him. Like he is the boring is beautiful, like late round, but he's young, like poster child to me. Because he just quite, he was a Rule 5 pick, I believe, with the White Sox last year. And he comes over and throws 145 innings, a 3.81 ERA, even like the underlying, like the Sierra wasn't that bad. Like it was very serviceable when you look at it. I just went right 4.20. Like you can work with that here. I like to see the almost 24% K rate, 14% K to walk. He had an even better strikeout rate in the minor leagues. So maybe there's even a little more there with Shane Smith. And he's the ace of the White Sox for whatever you want to take that. So I say that because that means he's pitching every fifth day. And like he's like a lot of these guys we're talking about here are fours or fives or maybe a six-man rotation options. Shane Smith is the ace in that staff. Like he's pitching every day unless he's hurt. So I think there's a lot of viability there. And then I'm going to mention Hurston Waldrop real quick.
This is your guy.
Yeah, I'll give you the floor back after this. But Hurston Waldrop, I thought we'd get a lot of helium with him. This is kind of hilarious to me. Yeah, he's slotted in as the fifth starter in the rotation. They have other options. To me, he's still the best, unless Bryce Alder takes it, of course. But Waldrop stretched out. We don't have to worry about that. We crossed that off the list right now through nearly 150 innings last year between AAA and the Bigs. In 10 outings, 9 starts, 2.88 ERA. Strikeouts were good. He overachieved a bit. We're not going to deny that, but he still pitched very, very well. 3.96 Sierra. I'll take these things. One of their top pitching prospects, going to be 24 years old. Again, kind of like Leiter, doesn't have to be the ace. We can live with this. I think there's a ton of upside with Hurston Waldrop at 267 compared to like a bore. Like Shane Smith, I think, is who he is. Maybe he strikes out some more. Noah Cameron is boring as hell. Like there's not much left there. Like Hurston Waldrop, what's to stop him from like tapping more into that pedigree and becoming a legit ace candidate type deal?
Yeah, for me with Waldrop, it's the control or lack thereof. I mean, I think that's not to say Hurston Waldrop can't improve that, right? Age 24 season, you just mentioned the pedigree. For me, for redraft, I think I'm out at that stage. Look at that projected 140 whip for Waldrop. That reflects a
screams
pretty
Bubba. That screams Team Bubba all over it. What are you talking about?
That's I'm not surprised
I don't go to breeders for animals. I go to the SPCA. I like to fix things. So I believe I believe in improving, like self-improvement.
We'll see if you can fix Waldrop. it's a brutal walk rate, and it has been for Waldrop. That's the biggest thing. But if he can figure that out, even just get down to league average or even slightly worse, there's some untapped potential there. I will reiterate your Shane Smith love. Shane Smith also showed up on this post-August surge Bloom board. So I like that. And it was also pitch mix change driven too. More fastballs, fewer sliders as the season went on for Shane Smith. So I think actually there's quite a bit of ceiling for Shane Smith. I actually might like Shane Smith more than you. I think there's a ceiling there. We put an upside in the forecaster, 3.25 ERA, 200 Ks.
I think the K's is the thing. Like I mentioned, when he was in the minors with the Brewers, he struck out a lot of guys. So I think there's potentially more there.
Second half, 13% swinging strike for Shane Smith, 26% K. That's really good. Ending up with, we haven't talked Casey Mize, but just real quick.
That's your boy. I left him for you.
I know. He's Yeah, he's the man. He's just, especially in draft and hold, this is someone who's going to be your solid SP5 you can count on. And I don't think the ceiling's super high with Casey Mize. I do think he beats the 4.19 ERA, 1.26 projected whip here. Similar to Jack Flaherty, right? Like, great team, great park. It's a safe pick. And draft and hold, I want safe, especially those 15 teamers. And in a 12 teamer fab league, I don't know. I'd probably rather shoot the moon with Shane Smith over Mize, yeah, but I still like Mize.
I do have a lot of Mize, so I'm with you there. Let's do 76 through 80. Ryan Nelson starts at 269. Sean Manaea, Joey Cantillo, Quinn Priester, Mike Burrows, your sleeper pick at 288. It's funny. Like, this isn't the best, 30 picks, but there's cases to be made for so many of them that you could, twist it. So I like this range a little bit, too.
I do too. I actually really like this range. Mike Burrows is my favorite of the group, even though I guess he's not a sleeper, but going at pick 288, I think that's pretty darn cheap in fantasy. And I just think the upside versus floor proposition with Mike Burrows at this price, given how Mike Burrows finished the season, given how Houston agrees with me and acquired Mike Burrows and should be in the Houston rotation, I think that can't be a bad sign either. I love the skills that Mike Burrows showed down the stretch. Granted, it wasn't doing so by pitching deep into games. If that's, I think that is a valid critique. Mike Burrows needs to be able to kind of show those upticks in swing strike and ball rate but while also being able to pitch deep into games. But I don't know. Mike Burrows is a popular kind of post 250 starting pitcher play. And I think he should be. I think there's the ceiling here is high enough. And then just real quick, Joey Cantillo, I really like as well. He was also on this, keep referring this bloom board that we did, these post-August skill surgers. And Cantillo was on there. Control issues, but did seem to make improvements there late in the season. If you can get that under control, keep getting that under control with the strikeout upside. I think Cantillo is a really good pick at 278 too.
Yeah, love Cantillo with you there. The control has always been the thing. Once he hones it in like he has been of late, strikeouts will be there. He's very, very good. I just want to echo the Burrows thing. I just wrote for the PT tomorrow coming out this week is Astros rotation will be interesting because they have a lot of options. Yeah. If they go six-man, this will help Burrows tremendously. If they don't, you'd imagine Brown, Javier, and Emi are locked in. And then McCullers is making $17 million. Do they start there with him before he gets hurt? Probably, sadly enough. I hope not. But then you got Burrows, you got Weiss, you got Arrighetti, projected to start in the minors. I don't think Bluebaugh's there, but Bluebaugh's an option. Jason Alexander, Colton Gordon, Kaiwei Tang. They have a ton of pitching options there. I still think Burrows is better than pretty much all of those I mentioned. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yep, that's a risk.
If things, it could get risky, but I think he's very good. So I'm with you there. Quinn Priester, he's a guy that I don't think people appreciate just how good he was last year for the Milwaukee Brewers. He went on some poor man's Brian Wu runs, is what I'll call it, where he's going deep into games. He had 9 quality starts, which would probably surprise people to begin with, but made 24 total starts, 3.32 ERA, which was great. 132 Ks, which doesn't suck, 20% K rate. Still had a little bit of a walk issue, but again, we're getting deep into the weeds here. His Sierra was 3.96, so he didn't really overachieve a whole lot. Priester's very, very solid. And the thing I love about him, someone in our Discord mentioned, I totally missed out on it. Dude's only 25. He's super young still. Feels like he was a prospect with the Pirates, then got traded to Boston, then got traded to Milwaukee. He's been around for a while. So Priester, sneaky good here. Sean Manaea, if you trust he's healthy, big capital T trust.
Yeah.
This is a perceived value of most values on this entire board. That's if you believe it. I have not drafted Sean Manaea yet, if that tells you anything. And Ryan Nelson finished really strong in the strikeout department. There's still, I have a lot of concerns with ratios with Ryan Nelson, but skills I like a lot. So just wanted to highlight those real quick.
Yeah, Manaea scares the hell out of me, just injury-wise. If I knew this would be a healthy Sean Manaea, the price might be a little more expensive, but I'd be very interested. But just don't get the warm and fuzzies from a health standpoint in some of the quotes we've seen this offseason from Sean Manaea, where he's like, what do you say? I feel good now. I don't feel anything now. So we're just going to roll with it.
See where
this.
It goes, basically.
Paraphrasing, of course, but that's kind of the vibe I got from that. And Not a good one.
At least Blake Snell says he's hurt. Like flat out.
Yeah. And you know, Cole Reagans infers it by not joining the WBC, of course.
He's picking his team, prioritizing team right now. Yeah. That's what he's doing. Over country, which might offend people. But all right. Great, 81 through 85. Logan Henderson, ADP 290, Troy Melton, Garrett Cole, Braxton Ashcraft, Cody Ponce at 297. So a lot, like, this is literally seven picks apart for five pitchers. And now it's starting to get a little, take your shots, I guess.
Yeah, this gets a little dicey. I want to really like Logan Henderson. I just, injury wise, I'm very scared. I don't think, what was it? It was an elbow, wasn't it?
Forearm. Yeah, I believe so, yeah. One of the places you don't want to hurt, basically, for a pitcher. Let's just put it that way.
Right elbow flexor strain. And again, didn't see much of Logan Henderson in the second half. That scares me. Again, I sound like maybe like a broken record here saying that, but I do when I'm evaluating these pitchers. If you end the season on the IL with some kind of elbow/shoulder injury and don't get it taken care of, I'm probably not drafting you. I mean, of this group, I like Braxton Ashcraft the most. I like the skills that Ashcraft showed. It's also a little bit of there's some pedigree there. Age 26 guy. I think he's going to have a spot in that rotation. Nice set of sub indicators, whiff rate and ball rate for Braxton Ashcraft. Let's see if he can pitch deep into games. Kind of similar issue than with former teammate Mike Burrows. But Braxton Ashcraft is probably my favorite of this group. I like the ceiling there, and I think he will get every chance to show that ceiling for Pittsburgh this year.
Yep, I'm with you. I won't drag this back in too much longer, but Ashcraft is the guy I want here. I think there's a ceiling. Love the improvements, to your point. Henderson, want to love as well. No clue what that arm looks like, but at 290, maybe, again, Fabry.
Sure. I mean, that's, yeah.
Like that might be worth a shot to see where it goes, because I think we all agree his skills.
We know he's really good. We know Logan Henderson is really good, and that's a good point. It is pick 300. It's like, maybe you do take that shot, and if you get lucky, this hits very
hopefully
well.
Hopefully it's your SP 6 or 7 at this point, depending on how you're good like, point. You're going to drop him anyways. Like, he, if healthy, again, big if, he's at least an SP 3 or 4 probably by season's end. So, like, you roll with that. Melton, don't know if he's even starting, which makes things complicated there. And Cody Ponce is probably a really good floor guy. I don't see a lot of ceiling there unless those KBO changes are real, real, which I always grain of salt that one.
Yeah, and I just have, maybe this is, well, I know this is lazy analysis. I don't know Cody Ponce. I don't know how those numbers will translate. I haven't seen a pitch. If I don't know any of that stuff, I'm probably not drafting you.
All right, and then just a heads up for Garrett Cole, everybody, they're hoping for midseason. So that just takes that out of the question. All right, 86 through 90, ADP 301 to 308, Reese Olson. Bailey Ober down at 304. Zebby Matthews, Ian Seymour, Ryan Weathers. I like this pocket better than the first five we just talked about, or the last five we just talked about, but not loving a whole lot of it. So where you at here on this murderer's row of who's who?
Yeah, it's tricky. You'd have Virginia Tech legend Ian Seymour in the mix here. I don't know what his rotation outlook looks like at this point in early February. I like Zebby Matthews. I feel like this is a early career Nick Pivetta / Aaron Nola type where the skills look good. Dude just gets hammered. Like, well, I don't know if he drinks, but when he pitches, the balls that he throws get hammered.
I would.
I would also probably.
It would help with the whiplash from all the home runs.
Would also probably partake at that point.
I think, but I do because I've rostered him.
But I think... At pitch 305. Oh man, at 305 is a beer, isn't it?
805. It's, they make it. They make it down the road from me here.
That's right. That's what I was thinking of. At pick 305, I think you can at least take a shot on the skills with Zebby, and kind of hope that the rotation spot stays firm. That he hopefully can pitch deeper into games with some new minds there in Minnesota this year. That was always a frustrating. It wasn't even 5-and-dive for Zebby. In the past, it's been a 4 2/3 and dive, even when he's pitching well. But I like Zebby Matthews, and I honestly like Ryan Weathers. Obviously, just came over to New York, presumably the Yankees think Ryan Weathers is healthy enough to make it through a decent chunk of this season. And I think those skills are worth speculating on as well. So yeah, Zebby and Ryan Weathers to me are good ones.
Yep. Weathers, like, we don't know the health, but at 308, he's a really strong arm. So it's kind of like the Logan Henderson conversation. Take your chance here, get what you can get out of him and see where it goes. I'm with you on Zebby as well. We saw a lot of improvements, lots of ups and downs. Skills are very good. Results weren't there, but again, at 305, you bet on the skills coming through at this point. If not, he was waiver wire fodder last year. If he is again this year, so be it. You stream him later. But yeah, Zebby and Weathers for me. Like, I want to like Olson, but I know I keep saying like take Weathers and take Henry. Like Olson, I really have no clue what to do with Reese Olson. Against 301, so if it works out, great. But I really don't know what usage they're going to use. Like, he might be out of the bullpen as a long man right now.
Right, and like, and end their of the rotation, season,
I mentioned Melton. Like, it's a mess with all their pitchers right now.
Yep, agreed. And Olson too ended the season with a shoulder thing. And again, that shouldn't preclude you from taking someone at 301. But I'd rather, if I'm going to bet on injury and hope I hit the nuts with good health, I'd rather do that with Ryan Weathers than Reese Olson, right? I just think if Reese Olson stays healthy, you get a useful pitcher. If Ryan Weathers stays healthy, you could potentially have a SP2, SP3 here, and that's more what I'm looking for.
Yep, totally agree with you there. All right, couple, let's do a little post-90 ADPs. Anybody, nice. Or 90, I guess, pitchers. Anybody standing out to you of potential targets, I guess, starting pitchers? You have to kind of scroll a little more to make it check out for you, but like Grayson Rodriguez is a name that people are talking about. Like, he's not, honestly, if he's healthy in spring, I kind of say, why not at ADP like 306 or so, give it a whirl and see where it goes. Like, Brady Singer is a guy I got a ton of. He's boring, but pitches really well. Even in Great American, pitch good. Robbie Snelling's a popular pick. There's a lot of guys I don't mind taking dart throws on down here, but what are some guys that you've been looking at?
Agreed on Snelling. I know that's Martin Sokolsky's boy, so we'll give Martin the shout out there. Hopefully the kids appreciate that one. Robbie Snelling, there's still some question as to whether Robbie Snelling will be in the rotation or not, but I feel like over the season, that's a good bet to make. And even in fab leagues, again, if Snelling makes the rotation, great. Let's see what he does. If he doesn't make the rotation, cut, move on. So I like the Robbie Snelling call out. I will also throw out, I think you took this guy in our current draft and hold, Jose Soriano.
Yep, love him.
Going at pick 335 over the last month or so. So Jose Soriano, some walk issues, not the biggest K's, but has a stable rotation spot. Major, major ground ball guy, which you have to like there. And then I'll throw out Cade Cavalli, kind of a popular late throw, given how Cade Cavalli finished the season in terms of skills and not results. I like that. And then hope I'm not stealing all your thunder, but can't not mention Mr. Split Finger himself, Simeon.
I was like, SWR. I was doing like a WWE thing, like, do it.
So, yeah, banging your pen there. I wasn't sure where you were going with, but yeah. Simeon Woods Richardson. Yep. We've been talking about him forever. So I think has a decent shot to be in the Twins rotation, given how he finished very well with that new splitter. I think that's worth taking the shot at pick 350, 340. Yep. It's a good price.
Yeah, no, I had him highlighted just in case, because we have talked about him so much. But like, in the DC we're in, in round 21, I took Singer. In round 22, I took Richardson. In round 24, I took Soriano. So that tells you pretty much.
There you go.
Pretty pumped on that, considering I like pretty much missed out on a lot of good pitching at some point in time. All right, let's hit some of the Discord listener questions here before we completely wrap up this entire position. Prepared here, show questions. Boom, we got it. BP says, I have Ryan Nelson as a very cheap keeper. I'll keep him because of the price, but what do you think his ceiling is?
I don't know about the long-term ceiling. I just don't think Ryan Nelson misses enough bats to really have that much of a ceiling. I think he can be effective, but I think it's more like a trustworthy SP 4 or 5, as opposed to someone who has a high ceiling.
Yeah, he's a streaming guy. I don't know if I pitch him every start type deal, because he's not like ceiling. Like, we talk strikeout ceiling, there's not a ton of it, but he doesn't walk a lot of guys, so he's not crushing you in that regard. It's just keeps the ball in the ballpark, you'll be fine. So good matchups, you roll with it. type situation, and see where it goes. SMMS 79 says, given the almost 380p, any interest in a Cole stash, or does the uncertainty around his timeline for return still make that tough? Midseason kind of takes it out for me. Like, if it's like 1 month, maybe two, I listen. When you say midseason, it's one setback away from being a disaster.
And especially, certainly in fab leagues, I don't think you can touch Gerrit Cole. That roster spot is way too valuable to stash for 3 months. And to your point, Bubba, you know, any, that's with no setbacks. I could maybe see it in draft and holds, because, you know, you are trying to build a rotation for the entire season. And if you can get Gerrit Cole back for the last 2 months of the season, I think that's a more reasonable pick. But in fab leagues, especially no IL, right? If you have an IL spot, that's a different conversation. You can stash Cole, and that's fine. But I would not want Gerrit Cole on my team if you don't have IL spots.
Agreed. Adam W. says, serious question is, how do you like to approach injury guys? This tier is loaded with them. I see Bubich, Musgrove, McClanahan, Henderson, Cole, not to mention workload questions like Boyd, Manaea. That's a serious question. We'll do that one first. I think we were kind of uniform on our theory there, but there's obviously differences based on the upside of the player, we think, right? Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this on the last show. I think so, like the example of Joe Musgrove as opposed to like a Bubich. So we had the same conversation last time. Musgrove at least had surgery and has had the requisite, more than the requisite time off compared to the average recovery time to believe that at least the volume is going to be there for Joe Musgrove. Whereas if you end the season with a shoulder, elbow strain, whatever, and just kind of let it heal over the off season, that's not something I'm really that interested in. However, the last part I'll add is, this is pick, right, 300-ish. Like, you do, all these guys have warts. If they're fully healthy and they have a spot in the rotation, they're probably not that good. Like, they don't have the highest ceiling in the world. So, you know, you just have to kind of pick and choose your spots, and it's your risk tolerance. You want to balance your perceived safe guys like a Jose Soriano, a Quinn Priester, balance that with maybe taking a shot on a Logan Henderson. I think that's probably the best approach, is to not go all one way or the other and try and mix it up.
Yep. Maybe one guy, don't go crazy with it either.
Yes. If you do it too much, you're going to get burned.
Okay. The unserious question from Adam is, would drinking more Tang improve the durability? It's only one way to find out. I'll take one for the team. Let me start working on that.
Yeah.
Let you know how the back holds up.
Not going to give any more to my kid. So we won't test him on that. I don't know, man. Apparently it's like been off the market. So obviously probably something went wrong with it. So.
Probably something in there we should not be drinking.
Orange lead in there.
Yeah. It's some powder that should not be involved. It's probably why it's in the Pacific Northwest. Ted, does Braxton Ashcraft take a step forward this year and become a solid back end starter?
I mean, I don't know, but yeah, I think the pieces are in place for him to do that. Nothing is a sure thing. We can't predict this stuff, but yeah, I think there's enough in place there for Braxton Ashcraft. Plus I think safe rotation spot that's the type of profile you want to take a shot on for sure.
Yeah. And real quick, just kind of, cause this made me think with the injuries we just talked about, the Pirates here, like Jared Jones, a deep guy we didn't throw out there as a name, but he's a guy that I'm kind of interested in because I don't think he's going to miss too much time to start the year, but we'll see. Like, we're just throwing our different scenarios out there. Wanted to mention that. Yeah. Now it's just guys talking to each other, because that's what they do in this chat. Smokey Joe, what am I missing with Andrew Rabbit? Even the underlying numbers look good. It's called the ballpark. He pitches an entire scarcity living crap out of a fly ball pitcher like Andrew Rabbit.
That's my biggest thing, too. And, I mean, the double-edged sword to that, the flip side of that, is a fly ball guy is typically going to help your whip. It was a 118 whip for Andrew Rabbit last year, so you like that. But yeah, I agree. Like, Andrew Rabbit had a 47% fly ball rate last year, and in Great American Small Park, that is not a combination. That's playing with fire. He was able to get by with it thanks to an 8% homer to fly ball rate. That's much lower than league average. I would expect that to go back up to around 11%. But that's the biggest thing. One thing I will add with Abbott, he is consistently one of the leaders in infield fly ball rate. So like pop-up rate, which is kind of like a strikeout, right? It's an automatic out. Andrew Abbott's been among those league leaders. I think twice already. So there is perhaps, I don't think it's as, I don't know how sticky that is, but Andrew Abbott has at least been able to kind of show the ability to get those easy pop-up outs. So that would be kind of the retort for Andrew Abbott. But yeah, in general, man, that many fly balls with a low strikeout rate, it's just a lot of contact in that park, and it scares me.
Canton Dog says, Bryce Miller, how confident are you that Bryce will revert back to 2024 form after his postseason performance and adding 12 pounds of muscle during the offseason? His current ADP of 248, could he crack under the 200 ADP before the season starts?
Not confident. And I don't know if adding 12 pounds of muscle is
what he
good
needs
for a pitcher. Yeah, like I wouldn't assume that's a good thing.
Stones grow?
The stones are now 12 pounds heavier. The bone chips are now bone boulders in his arm. Yeah. So I don't know. I talked about Miller earlier, but finished strong, but there's still, I don't know. I don't think I've got questions big time.
Big questions. Joe NYC Met says, out of the higher skilled injury guys, who do you have the most confidence in having the best season?
Out of the higher skilled injury guys, I don't know.
What's like Weathers, Henderson, Manaea?
I would probably say Weathers. Yeah, in terms of like, I don't know about the health. I have no idea, you know, who's going to actually be healthy. I'm going to take this more as if we assume these injury guys are healthy, who am I most confident in? I would say Ryan Weathers.
Agreed. I'm with you there as well. Lucas Bury says, which pitcher has the best median outcome in your mind? We'll start there. He's got multiple spots. Which one's like got the best median, probably the best floor in theory out of this board?
Yeah, I would say Quinn Priester.
That was the name I just looked at. So that's kind of scary. Because we're talking ceiling over on the nose. Yeah, I'll go Priester then because I was going to say someone else, but that's probably more of a ceiling play. Give me Quinn Priester as well. I was going to say Shane Smith, but that could be a ceiling play to your point with the forecaster. And Lucas's next question, which pitcher has the most elite upside?
Most elite upside, I would say, I mean, outside of Garrett Cole, but he's not really an option for me. I would say Bryce Miller or Logan Henderson.
I was going to say Jack Leiter for me. I think Leiter could shoot to the moon if it figures it out. Maybe even Joey Cantillo if he gets the strikeouts going even more. But for the price point we're paying. And then the other last part here, after pick 250 only, or after 250s only, so you can't pick Captain Jack. Okay, so we're good. We did that. B. Welch, Jack Leiter and Shane Smith are both very good second half last year. Buying in on either one, we like them both. At least I like them both. Yeah.
Yep, both. I came into this really liking Shane Smith, and you've sold me pretty well on Leiter.
All right, mailman Mike, who from this list can become an SP2, SP3 type next year? So who basically makes the jump to the next, episode two, preview part two with these guys?
I'll say Shane Smith.
Yeah, because if he keeps the ratios in line and it ups the strikeouts, I think there's a lot there. Yeah, Gallen, I'll go for someone from the right side. I think it's probably either Cantillo or Priester for me. I think Priester's actually really, really good. And just doesn't get the attention because he's kind of boring. But I think he had a run of really good starts there. If he can kind of figure that one out full season, that can be big. And then Timothy says, does position without the rotation have any bearing at all on pitchers with similar ADP? For example, do you discount number one starters on bad teams versus number four or five starters on a good team? That's a good question. Gotcha.
Yeah, good example too. I don't really look at, unless it's a fifth starter with like, so to your point with Mike Burrows, there's decent alternatives there. That maybe enter the equation. Outside of that, I don't really care where the pitcher is slated in his own rotation. Shane Smith is the ace of the White Sox, yet going pick 265. I care much more about what's the bullpen like, what's the run support look like for the win total. I'd rather have a SP4 on a better team than an SP1 on a bad team.
I was just about to say before you got there, Mike, to me, the team context almost matters more than the actual, you want pitcher with skills, but I'll never forget one of my first FPASs. It's common sense stuff, but when Rob Silver gave a presentation, he had it on the wall. Like you looked at all these, like the good teams obviously win more games, but then you start looking at, it was the SP4s, which you kind of look over in a draft room and you're like, wait a minute, they're racking all of these. Like you make fun of my love for Carlos Rodon. The dude still had 18 wins last year. He doesn't sniff that on like half the teams from baseball. So yeah, it goes a long, long ways when you're drafting certain players. All right, final thoughts on the starting pitching position. We'll do relief pitchers on Thursday. So what do you got here?
Relievers on Thursday, and that will be back live with you all, I believe. Unless you have any other vacations you want to tell me about.
This isn't a vacation, though. So let's not go. This is strictly business on this one. I'd rather be doing this live on Tuesday night than where I'll be.
I hear you. I don't know. I heard from a bunch of you on the style of these shows. Hopefully this was helpful. I mean, we went through all 90, pretty much all 90 pitchers, and hopefully, in terms of just not only the player by player type analysis, but kind of at the beginning of each board, we give that kind of high level general strategy type thing. Hopefully that combination of coverage was helpful to you all.
Yep. No, I enjoy doing these. They helped me a ton. Hopefully it helped everybody else going through them. And it just gets me excited to, once we finish up relief pitchers, we'll take a couple weeks or a couple episodes off, and then it'll be pocket time before you know it, because it's, we only have like 7 weeks left before the season starts. It's going to be busy early and often around here. So we'll have you covered here and have you covered on the Patreon. Like, we'll plug it again. It's a lot of good stuff over there. Discord's great. The tools are great. The content's great. Like, there's a lot of stuff that the feedback's awesome. And we try to use the feedback to kind of keep improving things as we can. So we love the support. And if you guys want to check it out, $7 a month, come join the party. And it's it'll get you ready for opening day, I'll tell you that much. And even in season, there's more stuff, as Ryan's always in the lab. So there'll be more stuff and things that he'll be putting together for you.
Right, stuff and things,
yes. But all right, we'll wrap it up there. Make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. Once again, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Entrick, and this was episode 316, your SP preview, part 3. Catch you all next time.